You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll spend some time with Shaq Barrett of the Buccaneers. He'll join us coming up. You could have made a case for Shaq Barrett for MVP. Just saying that. Somebody on that defense. Barrett was credited with 13 quarterback pressures in the Super Bowl. It's the most pressures for any defensive player in the last 15 Super Bowls. Actually, five more pressures than Von Miller had in Super Bowl 50. Miller was the MVP, but he had the strip sack that turned that game around, or pretty much decided who was going to win that game. So Shaq Barrett's going to join us coming up. Denny Hamlin is going for three in a row at Daytona. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. I know Michael Jordan is coming into town for the Daytona 500, and he, of course, is partners with Denny Hamlin, and they'll probably end up going to play golf. So we'll get Denny before he heads out to play golf with Michael Jordan. I don't know if you guys saw this meme. NFL announces all future Super Bowls will be held in Dallas in order to assure no team ever gets home field advantage again. That was mean-spirited. That, true, but mean-spirited. Although, I think I saw McLovin yesterday that the NFL is going to have Dallas in the rotation again for a Super Bowl.
Oh, really? That makes sense.
I think so. Well, hopefully the weather's better this time around.
L.A. next year, right?
Yes, L.A. next year. But I think, I don't know the cities after that. Can you check and see if how far out that they've announced that they're going to have these Super Bowls?
By the way, I think the draft is back in Cleveland this year. Remember they lost a draft and then they're coming back. So I think Cleveland has a draft.
But I thought Vegas lost out on one too.
Okay, so they'll get next year's or something.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, Cleveland this year, Vegas next year for the draft. The Super Bowl sites, you have 2022 Los Angeles, 2023 Glendale/Phoenix, 2024 New Orleans.
Okay.
That's what we have right now.
Okay. So Dallas isn't on that list?
But they could be the next one, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when Jerry Jones is there. You know, when you speak, you talk about what Jerry's done with the Cowboys and how valuable they are. And I was listening to Around the Horn, pardon the interruption, yesterday. And the guys were talking about how Jerry Jones got all this free publicity. If he put a hype video out with Dak Prescott in it, are we talking about it? Are we talking about it this much? And first of all, it didn't hype me up to do anything. It wasn't a good hype video. But, you know, I was listening to those guys and you know, it started to dawn on me. If you're Jerry Jones, I got publicity. I got a ton of publicity. Now, granted, you know, you can, whether you subscribe to that or not, any publicity is good publicity, which I don't agree with. But Jerry Jones, you're talking about the Cowboys. They didn't make the playoffs and they didn't include Dak Prescott. Not that that's why you didn't put him in there, but you did get a whole lot of free publicity there. Speaking of organizations that tend to disappoint, who says losing doesn't pay? Forbes came out with their list of NBA franchise values yesterday. For the sixth year in a row, the New York Knicks are the number one valued franchise. $5 billion. That's up over 8%. The Knicks haven't made the playoffs since 2000. Doesn't seem to matter. Winning is totally irrelevant with the New York Knicks. Now, you would think, you know, recent championships for the Warriors and Lakers, that would put them high on the list, and it has. But New York's incompetence on the court is by far better than anybody else, or worse than anybody else. But location is probably the most important factor in the franchise value. Because, you know, the same location holds no appeal for NBA players. They don't care about the Garden. They'd rather be in Brooklyn. It also means that ownership isn't going to be penalized for dumb moves through the years, and maybe that's changing. The Knicks actually show a little bit more promise, a little bit, but they're still not even close to justifying this incredible price tag of $5 billion for the Knicks. Yeah, McLovin.
If you're a young fan in New York, would you choose the Nets or the Knicks? Say you're in Long Island.
Definitely the Nets.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to the Knicks. If I say New York Knicks basketball, what comes to mind? But they have a loyal fan base. And then you don't even get fans going to the games, but they are a loyal fan base. Maybe blind fan base. Because after a while, how do you voice your concern, disgust, anger. You don't go. You don't support. But the Knicks, and you got a network that carries their games as well. That's really important. It's the same with the Yankees. But the Yankees, you know, they go out and they're able to buy players and bring them in. The Knicks can't do that. The Yankees can. They'll just overpay and, you know, they build. But this is the brilliance of what the Yankees have done, is they created sort of a show every night where you know who the characters are. You know, it's like when you tuned in to watch Friends. You knew everybody on the show. The Yankees have these names where you tune in and you go, oh, I know that guy, and I know that guy, and I know that guy. And therefore, there's familiarity, and they're very good. And then you put that combination in New York, your own network, and you're going to make a lot of money. Yeah, Paulie.
The current owner of the Knicks bought them for, let's see what you can guess, 1997, not that long ago. That's 24 years ago the Knicks were purchased. What was the cost of the Knicks? They're currently worth $5 billion. 1997.
1997.
Oh, my God.
$94 million.
$300 million, which was a monstrous price in 97.
Yeah.
They said that was the biggest purchase price of any team worldwide.
Oh, man.
What a deal.
Yeah. Has a franchise ever gone down in value? Because it feels like whenever somebody buys into a franchise, with the NFL, you're always making money. But, like, are the Sacramento Kings worth what they were worth when they were sold? I don't know. I'm just curious. It feels like whenever these guys buy into a franchise, then it's rare when they go, boy, we lost money on that investment. It's hard to lose money investing in some of these teams. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We talked about Tom Brady, TB 12-pack, and he showed up in style with his, I guess it's called a vessel. Is it a boat or a yacht or a vessel? What is it, Paulie?
It's kind of this, they call it like a Dutch cruising boat. It's not a speedboat. It's more of like this luxurious cruising, not like a pontoon, but like a cruising vessel. It's from Holland.
But is it a yacht? I don't know what constitutes a yacht. Is that size?
Not a yacht. It's not the biggest boat. I think it's like 50 feet. And to give you an example, Shad Khan's was like 130 feet or maybe more.
And he named the boat Viva Avida in honor of Giselle and her environmental efforts there.
But it looks like the kind of thing, like it probably goes reasonably fast, I would guess, but you could just kind of hang out on it. Like it's like a party boat, but just a better, better version of it.
Yeah, top speed is only, it says 45 knots. Is that correct?
Is that fast?
We have no idea. I just said it like I know what I'm saying. It's 53 feet. It's got a Volvo engine, so that's got to be nice and responsible and safe.
Mm. Good guess, Bob.
Top, 46 miles an hour is the top speed, so it's not a speed.
Draft is 4 feet, though, so keep that in mind.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Tom was not piloting the boat yesterday.
I sure hope not.
Yeah, I sure hope not. Because I did wonder about that, if it was going to be, like, there's that ride at Disney World where you have the bumper cars, and I thought you got all these boats out there, and everybody's drinking. Could have been a mess. Well, it almost was when, you know, Tom threw the Super Bowl trophy, and Gronk, by the way, was supposed to catch it, and then Cameron Brate caught it. All right, so we'll talk Shaq Barrett. He'll join us coming up. Also, Alan Roach, he was the PA announcer for the Super Bowl, and I thought, let's have him on. I don't know if you grow up wanting to be a PA announcer, but Alan Roach got some good pipes there, and figured we'd have him on as well. Let's see, what else do I have here? Yes, Paul.
Do you believe that Tom Brady unveiled his new yacht at this thing because he got the yacht for free? There's some speculation in the sports business world, or he got a big discount. He unveils his brand new yacht that we're talking about on national TV and radio at the big Super Bowl party. He pulls up police escorts. Now everyone in the world knows the brand, the model, so forth. Not that I'm going to run out and get one this weekend. People are speculating that Tom got hooked up.
Well, I'm going to guess he did.
Yeah.
He got a discount, but I don't know if he got something for free. And don't you do something with seven on it, like seven Super Bowl trophies if you're Tom? you know, maybe you do the Viva for Giselle, but you can peel that off, and then you know there's seven Super Bowl trophies, there's seven rings in counting. Yes, Todd.
We could put like siete. Or not. It's just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there. Like seven in Spanish, I think. Why did I say siete?
Now, you gave that thought. You thought that might have crushed, right?
I thought, you know, the way I said it, I thought I wrote siete. Look at me, seven rings.
Not bad.
By the way, Todd did his sports names, the Valentine's Day. And, of course, the last two are going to sum up Todd's Valentine's Day. He is going to be Hope Solo, and he's going to be Bill Self. And
not my choice.
Yeah, but the rest of the names will be on the DP Show newsletter that we'll put out, because there's probably 25 or 30 names on here. And you can follow along, and you can feel my pain whenever I get these lists that are sent to me by one toddler
friend.
That
pained expression that you get when you open up the email and you see that.
Well, it's because I know how excited you are, and you spend way too much time on this.
I do. I go through that mental Rolodex of my 70s and 80s knowledge and hope that there's some good names in that time period.
A couple of phone calls in here. Jonathan in Florida joining us on the program. Hi, Jonathan.
What up, DP?
Hey, bud.
Hey. So I have a Valentine name that was strictly inspired by Fritzy, but first, I think you guys got to come up with a new shirt that says, "Let Fritzy Cook." This is some of his best work he's ever done. Man.
How about I do this with Todd with a chef's hat on, an apron, and nothing else? And it's just, "Let Todd Cook."
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. Well, your wife.
That's a given. I just thought others.
Your wife. All right. So what's the name you have, Jonathan?
So I'll rise for Aaron Fudge. Thanks, guys.
For Aaron
Fudge. Is it fudge? Like chocolate? I guess you're giving out chocolates for Valentine's Day? Fudge?
Yeah, that's strictly inspired by Fritzy, as you can tell.
Wow. Nice to
deflect. Thank you, John.
Puts the blame on me on that one.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Oh, Ryan in Honolulu is back. Aloha.
Aloha, Dan.
Now, you had a tough week. Hey, Ryan, you had a tough week last week, so you feel good about yourself?
Well, I was just giving my opinion like I was supposed to.
Good reference. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I got some, some Valentine's Day sports names.
All right.
So we got NFL linebacker Bill Romantikski. A couple of soccer players here. Zinedine Zidinedate.
All right. All right.
Pele Le Pew.
All right.
We have a couple of NBA ones. Louis Altinder.
Oh, Altinder.
Altinder.
Okay.
DeMar Dozen Roses. New York coach Tom Cupido. Speaking of Cupid, you need your Tim Tebow and Arrow.
Okay, that one is good. Tap out, Ryan.
Tim. Not Tom Cupido.
I have like 20 more, guys.
No. You know what, Ryan?
What about one
Ryan?
For
Ryan,
one for
no. Ryan. We're going to put you on hold, send him in, and we'll put yours on the newsletter as well with Todd. Thank you, Ryan. Tom Thibodeau and Arrow.
Tom Cupido? What did he say?
Cupido. Don't hate, Todd.
Congratulate.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, we'll get Ryan's names. We'll put them on the newsletter, and then people can decide. All right? You okay with that?
I'm going to hold up the belt right about now anyway. Oh! A little cocky there.
Usually the belt holds you up.
Okay. Moving along.
James in Virginia. Hey, James, what's on your mind?
Oh, good morning, brother. Happy Thursday, man. We are Washington. And since we're in the Valentine's Day spirit, man, you know, my girl, man, she's been living with me now about 6 months, man. It's our first Valentine. So I figure, man, the chocolate, the roses, and the card is in the morning. But do I come strong with the big gifts in the morning? Or do I wait till it's dinner time and nighttime, man? And then I'll leave you with two things real quick, man. for me personally, I'm real interested if you can get the iTeam to see what news you can find out about the Washington football team, possible new name. And the last gem I'll leave you with, man, because I can't buy into McLovin's hatery of Tom Brady. To me, man, if there's a great Mount Rushmore of all-time sports American athletes, Tom Brady's got to be on that with maybe Jackie Robinson, Jordan, and Ruth. I don't know where you stand, man. I'll take it off the air, man. Thank you very much. We are watching.
Thank you, James, and good luck. Good luck with Valentine's Day. I'm guessing they'll have a new name before the start of the season, but is there a chance that Washington just is the Washington football team? I guess seems like a lot of their troubles have gone away. You know, maybe they've paid for those troubles to go away, but you know, reportedly they paid for those troubles to go away, but I don't know about the name. If I'm Washington, well, I don't even want to speculate what Daniel Snyder would do, but I always thought you got a new revenue stream. You kind of go kicking and screaming, so you say to the old guard, hey, I don't want to give up this nickname, but I'm going to make the NFL wait a year. Let's get some more merchandise here. And you could still have this black market for, you know, merchandise with the previous nickname. That would be the approach that I would take as a businessman. But, you know, I don't want to try to handicap what Daniel Snyder is going to do. Yes, Paul.
It's been a while. No one's really jumped on this story for a while. But the odds for the team name, this is back in July when the story was big. The Red Wolves were the favorite. The Red Tails. Generals, presidents, Lincoln's monuments. There's a bunch of stuff in that ilk.
Mm, yeah.
But the only ones that are kind of semi-favorites are Red Wolves or Red Tails.
Are we staying with the poll question here, McLovin?
I never even put one up.
Why not?
Well, we couldn't decide on one.
Well, you put them up before when I don't decide on it.
I have a question I want to ask. If you had $2 million, would you ever spend it on a boat? Because people are reacting to that tweet. I think that is the most bizarre expenditure I've ever seen.
Well, but if $2 million doesn't matter to me, then all right, I guess. I mean, Giselle makes $2 million a month, probably.
That's true. What if you were like a normal person?
No.
Would you ever spend on a boat? But people do, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like looking at the water. I don't like being on the water. And you know what? The best thing to do is have a friend who has a boat. That's the best way. I'll bring beer. I'll bring food. You bring the boat. Because then I get off the boat, you have to deal with the maintenance there. It goes back to the famous saying, two best days, when you buy a boat and when you sell a boat. Those are the two best days.
So have you ever shopped for one? I mean, no. You must have at least looked at one.
No. 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 Not at all. No interest. Yes, Paul.
I got a buddy who you know, Dan, and his dad retired. He's a very successful businessman. He bought a brand new boat and down in like in Georgia on a lake in a beautiful home. And he had a boathouse built around it. So it was encapsulated in a dock and a wooden thing. Brand new, expensive boat, probably $300,000. 4th of July weekend, he's bringing everyone down to celebrate, check out the new boat, the new boathouse and the lake house. The day before the whole family comes down there, the son decides to light up some fireworks down by the boathouse, lights the boathouse on fire and the boat itself and burn them both to a crisp. And you actually know who this guy is. And it's legendary. All the family comes in and there's a charred remains of a $300,000 boat and a $100,000 boathouse.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because whenever I see this gentleman, that's all I could think about.
What are those boats that beautiful wood? They look like they're out of Venice.
Yeah. Oh, the old Chris Craft boats from the 40s, 50s, 60s. They're made of wood and they're lacquered and they're not that hard to find, but they're expensive.
No, I've seen them, and I have a friend who had one on Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. And let's just say it sank.
Oh, that's a crime. It's so gorgeous. What a gorgeous boat.
Yeah, he took out the garage where it was going into and part of the dock. And Yeah, that was a beautiful boat. And it was his dad's beautiful boat. And that's when because he said, hey, would you stay around? Because I got to tell my dad.
Oh.
And I go, I can't. And his dad's a very nice guy. He said, no, I can't do that. I can't. Like, I won't be, because I'm going to side with your dad that you're an idiot, that you sank a boat. All right, let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. Up next, though, we'll talk to Shaq Barrett of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 21 after the hour, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. Online clothing retailer Bonobos, they informed customers of a data breach exposing the personal information up to 7 million customers. It happens even to the great companies, great businesses. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put that information out there. Plus, working from home, it feels like we're even more loose when it comes to our information. That's why you need to have LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. And LifeLock is the first to tell you that. But keep what's yours. Yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now. You save up to 25% off your first year by using the promo code Patrick. 1-800-LIFELOCK, or you can go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Look, we all love Tom Brady, but I said somebody on the defense deserved the MVP. You want to give it to Todd Bowles? They could have given it to the most valuable person. I would have been fine. But I said Shaq Barrett was credited with 13 quarterback pressures in the Super Bowl. That's the most pressures for any defensive player in the last 15 years. Five more than Von Miller had in Super Bowl 50 when he was named the MVP. And Shaq Barrett joins us now. You're my MVP, Shaq. Is the party still going on in Tampa?
Oh, I don't think the party's going to stop for a long time now. And I appreciate you having me on the show as well.
Well, I thought the defense was the star here, and I thought the defense was the reason why you guys got to the Super Bowl in the first place, what you did in the previous games there. But it's almost like the media kept forgetting about how good you guys were. Did that bother you guys going into the Super Bowl?
Oh, no, it didn't bother us at all. We knew what we meant to the team. We knew the role we played and everything. And long as we got that Super Bowl ring, I mean, they could say whoever won the game, it don't matter. We got the ring. I don't care. We know it was a team effort. We all, like, stepped up in the biggest game of our lives and made it happen.
All right, so what was the game plan against Mahomes?
To be able to get pressure on him with four men like we did against Rodgers, and then to keep him in the pocket. We know he's good at improvising, getting out the pocket, making them plays, making them throws, and he still was able to do it some in our game, but we limited as much as possible when we was able to close out on him and not give him time to make them throws like once he rolled out and scrambled out.
Well, also, he's got that bad toe, and I don't know if that factored in as well that they looked at it and said he ran for over 400 yards trying to scramble the entire evening. Did he seem like he was not the same Patrick Mahomes mobility wise?
No. He still looked good to me. I mean, only he know how he really felt, but I know he put everything he played to the best of his capabilities with that toe injury, because I know he ain't want to have anything limiting him. But yeah, he looked normal. He was mobile, escaping. Like, yeah, he looked normal.
Did he say anything to you during the game?
No, I didn't think I got a chance to talk. I was too busy talking to the other guys on that team. But, yeah, I ain't say anything to him. He ain't say nothing to me.
Oh, wait. Who are you talking to on the Chiefs? The linemen?
Yeah, I was talking to the linemen. And occasionally when the defenses crossed path, I was talking to a couple of the defensive guys, too.
What'd you say to the linemen?
They just got me going. They got me going. I told them, like, just once they started talking, it was just made it a longer day for them. But it was majority 77, 75. Rimmers wasn't talking too much, but 77 was talking a lot, and I wanted to make him eat his words for sure.
Yeah, I thought Rimmers, he didn't do well against Von Miller a few years ago in the Super Bowl, and I thought, boy, he's going to go up against you. I was surprised they didn't make adjustments, Shaq. Like, were you guys surprised they didn't make adjustments at halftime?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I don't think the chip started coming, like, consistent chip blocks wasn't until, like, late third quarter or fourth quarter. That's when, like, I'm rushing, getting off the edge, beating the tackles, but then a running back or a tight end will be right there, and it just messed up the whole rush. But like, yeah, I saw the adjustments late in the game, but at that point, it was already past the two lead spot.
Take me back to the first time you met Brady.
The first time I met. And so it was in a locker room. I saw him in a locker room, just went up to him, said, what's up? Glad to have you here. Like, that's the first time we met in person. And he was all love to you, man. It was just a great feeling. Like, we respect each other's games. We know what we brought to the game, and we're just happy to be able to get it going together. But the first time I talked to him was on Instagram, just saying the same thing, happy to have you here. Like, just wanting to bring some of his winning ways down to Tampa, and that's exactly what he did. We was all ready to just gravitate to him and learn under him.
Did you get to get on his boat? Have you been on his boat?
No, I have not been on his boat. I did not make it to his boat.
Did you see him yesterday?
I saw him yesterday a little bit. I saw videos, but I like
Shaq, he looked like he had been sacked. He was in concussion protocol when he came off that boat.
Hey, that's how it should be, man. This was a great affair, especially for him having success outside of New England. I know that's probably what he wanted to prove to everybody, even though he knew he could do it. But just to get rid of that debate, was it just because of New England or was it both of them together? And like, he most definitely ended that debate for sure.
What do you think my new nickname, TB 12 pack?
Hey, that's just that's the off season after Super Bowl nickname that go for sure.
was Gronk what we've come to expect with Gronk, or was he a little more subdued in the celebration?
From what I saw, it was Gronk of old, like having fun, partying. Like, I saw videos before after they won the Super Bowl, and it was the same Gronk and me, man. He's always like, he's the same, even without winning the Super Bowl in the locker room. He's always a lot of energy, fun to be around. He's just he's a good guy to be around, man.
How do you keep this team together, Shaq?
That's a great question, but Mr. Light up top, BA, they did a good job of getting us together. I know they got to go and have a good plan to keep us together, man, because it's a great organization. Seems like they're making all the right moves from the last 2 years that I've been a part of it. I'm happy to be a part of it, and I know that if there's a will, there's a way, and it is a will. So we're going to figure out the way to get it done.
Okay, but you got a contract coming up.
Yeah. I most definitely like Tampa. I want to be in Tampa, and they feel the same way, so we're going to find a way to get it done for sure.
I think you're going to do well, though, Shaq. I think you're going to do well.
I'm looking forward to it, man. It's a great position to be in, and it's crazy after last year. Who would have thought that the position could become even better and becoming a better position for me to be in? And that's where I'm at right now, and I'm just staying in the moment, trying to take advantage of it, and just still focusing to even get better next year, because I think I played well, but I didn't play the way I wanted to play all year this past season, so I'm going to work on that.
But take me back to November. You guys had lost 3 in a row. You're 7-5. And any doubts start to creep in, whether it's privately?
No, I don't think no doubt ever started creeping in. We just knew, like, guys on the team, we all been in situations similar to that before, like where we've been a good team and then we go on a little slide like that. But it's up to the leaders of the team, coaches, game plan, everything to get everybody going back and standing in the right direction. And that's what we was able to do. We was able to bounce back, put together. We haven't lost since then, huh? Since 7-5, we haven't lost.
And I don't think so.
Yeah. So we found a way to go on a run, and that's what BA said. Just get hot at the right time, and like, you'll be exactly where you want to be at the end of the year. That's what we did. Just stayed in there, stayed mentally focused and trying to become more mentally focused, just executing a game plan. And that's how we ended up where we was at winning the Super Bowl.
What did you keep from the Super Bowl?
The only thing I really care about the most is the jersey, man. I got the guys to sign the jersey. I'm looking forward to hanging that up, but I got the Super Bowl shirt, Super Bowl hat. I still got the little tags, the credentials that we got to wear in the Super Bowl. I got the mask. I got everything, man. I got everything.
Well, hey, you're our MVP, and congratulations. That was a wonderful season, but certainly a wonderful game turned in by you guys. And Todd Bowles deserves a lot of credit, too, because whatever happened that first meeting wasn't going to happen in that second meeting as far as with Kansas City, right?
Yep, he did a great job, man. The game plan always been good with Coach Bowles. It was good the first time. We was in position, but we just didn't make the plays. And like that's what you could see the biggest difference was we was in position again the last time when we made the plays. But Coach Bowles, heck of a coordinator, man. Heck of a coordinator. It's bittersweet that he didn't get a head coaching job because I want him to have the success he want and I want him to have the job that he want. But I'm happy that he's coming back to us as a coordinator again. Man, he did real good for us.
Hey, congratulations. Job well done. We appreciate your time and good luck with your new contract, Shaq.
I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on. It's a great time and a great year.
That's Shaq Barrett. Reason to smile there. Got to keep him. But, you know, the pressure that he was putting, I can't imagine any of the linemen for the Chiefs is going to say anything. Not after halftime, other than help. That'd be about the only thing that they should be talking about. Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond customization options, cutting edge tech, five-star sales service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Take the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Jeff in Detroit joining us. Good morning, Jeff. What's on your mind? Hey, Jeff. Bye, Jeff. Corey in Texas joins us. Hey, Corey.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Patrick, to you and the boys, especially Seton out there. That dude is my spirit animal. It was almost an honor to follow Jeff in Detroit there. But hey, listen, I've been listening since 2008, first-time caller, 6'3", 210 pounds. Huge Buccaneers fan here. Quick shout-out to Ted in Tampa and Dave in Nova Scotia. It was awesome hearing you speak with Shaq Barrett. I really hope he means what he says yesterday when he says he isn't going anywhere. I just really wanted to say it was great seeing Brady embrace the Pirates life. That dude has been buttoned up for so long. It was awesome seeing him being a human being for once and just letting loose. And also, huge thank you to you, sir, for not following that media trend and really just giving credit to that whole team, not just TB12. So thank you. Fire the cannons. Appreciate you, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate that. Skip in Texas. We don't have any cannons. I got everything else in the man cave. I need a cannon. Seton goes yesterday. You know what we need? We need a batting cage. I go, we don't need a batting cage in here.
We do. I love that idea.
It'd be kind of cool, though.
Yeah,
I'll take a cannon as well. A cannon would be awesome.
I'll call my cannon guy.
Skip in Texas. Hi, Skip.
Hey, bud.
Yep.
So I've called before. I ran the tour in ferry boats. I was captain of them for 30 years. I actually did the Alcatraz run. I've seen you guys Alcatraz flashback. I did that for over a decade. So anyways, I want to clear up some of the maritime lingo for you.
Okay. All right. Maritime
lingo. All right. So the beautiful wooden boats, those are Chris Craft Rivas or Garwoods. They're called runabouts.
Okay.
And what Tom Brady has would be called a cabin cruiser, big enough to have a cabin, but it doesn't have a separate galley, doesn't have separate bedrooms and all that. That would be a yacht.
Okay.
Most people just call it a cabin cruiser.
All right. Well, thank you, Skip. We learned something there. I don't know anything about boats, but I would not want to have a sailboat because I got to get to someplace.
You seem like a cabin cruiser kind of guy. That sounds nice.
Yeah. But I don't know. I want to be able to sleep six on a boat. That would be fine. You know, get the whole family on there. Yeah, Paul.
Would you be fine owning a boat and just having it at the dock or the harbor to hang out in and invite friends to hang out where you actually never take it on the water? But you get to say you own a boat and get to have boat drinks.
I like that.
Very little maintenance, less maintenance.
I like that. But, yeah, you just sort of have a houseboat of sorts. Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
When they sold it to Brady, did you think they said, this will be great for Super Bowl parade stuff? Was that part of the
I don't think so.
Allure?
I don't know what the sales pitch was. Jeff in Detroit is calling back. Jeff?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Dan?
Yes, I can, Jeff.
Happy Me Friday to you, 12-15 Backroom Boys on a Thursday. Let's get it, man. Let's get it. I see Dan is stirring up a little bit of Starbucks in the state of Seattle, huh? Listen, that interview was great because I'm going to tell you, you held his feet to the fire, and nobody could have gotten that out of Russell Wilson because you speak fluent Russell. And I've heard him say more out of that interview than I've ever heard him say without saying anything, of course. You guys were talking yesterday about turf toe. I always wanted to get athlete's foot. and when I was a little boy. My mom was like, what's wrong with you? I said, I want an athlete's foot so I can dunk on fools and do everything. I promise you. They're like, no, baby, you do not want that. You don't want athlete's foot. I'd be like, I'll be able to outrun everybody, mom. And let me ask, let me just vent, please, Dan, please. Please let me just vent. I hate degenerate gamblers. I have a friend that moved to the to Florida, ended up placing bets on the dumbest things, like the defense will hold KC scoreless, or, you know, I mean, just everything, the interceptions. Nobody saw that coming. So the worst thing in the world, this guy's like Rodney Dangerfield. He's literally like Rodney Dangerfield. Calls me up. Listen, Jeff, I tell you, I've won. I did the dang thing. How much do you want for your convertible? I'm like, man, I'm not selling my car. I'm looking for something that's green anyway. I tell you, degenerate gamblers, man, the worst thing in the world is when somebody finally hits.
No, thank you, Jeff. You want athlete's feet, not athlete's foot. You don't want just one really good foot. You'd like to have athlete's feet instead of foot. The Buccaneers were the fifth team all-time to start out 7-5 or worse and win the Super Bowl. The 88 Niners were 7-5. New England was 7-5 in 2001. The Steelers 7-5 in 2005. The Giants were famously 6-6 in 2011. And then your Buccaneers at 7-5 this season.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what
stat of the day.
Coming up, it's a new segment on the show. It's called Stay in Your Lane. We are going to review a song from a new album from a big-time band. And there are only three choices. That was great. Not for me. Or not good. That's next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. All right, it's a new segment. Actually, it brings back painful memories of being told to stay in my lane when I criticized Green Day.
Never forget.
Oh, my gosh. A couple of months back. Then I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, and they had an exhibit of Green Day, and I was taking pictures and sending it back to the Danettes just saying, hey, unlike other journalists, I'm doing my homework here. I went to see Green Day in their exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, so here's the new segment. It's called Stay in Your Lane. We're going to review three songs off the new Foo Fighters album. It's called Medicine at Night. At night or midnight? Medicine at midnight. At midnight. All right. To give a true representation of the album, three songs, 20 seconds each, and your choices are great stuff, not for me, or not good.
Are we commenting on each song individually or the collection of three as a whole?
Yes, Paul.
No, you can't. Unless one song is extreme and you love it, you can, you know, talk about that. But would you purchase the entire collection based off these three songs?
Okay. All right. Seton, are you handling the disc jockey duty?
Yeah. So the first single from Foo Fighters, Medicine at Midnight, is a song called Shame, Shame.
All right. Got a little Prince feel to it there. Nice little funky vibe. All right. Second song?
The second song is called No Son of Mine. All that's right. The next single.
No son of mine will ever do the work of villains, the will of fools. If you believe it, it must be true. No son of mine, no son of mine.
All right.
All right, the third single.
And the guitar sounds a little bit like Nancy Wilson from Heart with
All right.
a little Barracuda.
Ooh. Yeah, right on.
Good catch.
Start out with that. All right.
That's pretty great. So then the third single that they've released off Medicine at Midnight is Waiting on a War.
All right.
Since I was a little boy with a toy gun, never really wanted to be number one, just wanted to love everyone. Isn't more to this than that.
All right, that's Foo Fighters. The album is Medicine at Midnight. Todd, that's probably the first music that you've heard past 1990s.
That's pretty accurate there.
What did you think of Foo Fighters' Medicine at Midnight?
All right, playing off of Waiting on a War, I'm going to say I'm waiting on better songs. Not
Whoa.
For me.
Okay, and not for me. All right. McLovin?
I'm going to give it great stuff, although this is not my genre of music, really. But those are pretty quality. I like... As you described, three different kinds of music altogether. One was like...
All right, so begrudgingly great stuff.
Great stuff for Foo Fighters, great stuff.
All right, Seton O'Connor Jr. III. You're not a big Foo Fighters fan, but you like Dave Grohl.
I do. I love Dave Grohl. I'm a huge Nirvana fan.
All right.
It feels sacrilege to say it, but I'm not a Foo Fighters fan.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it's not for me.
All right.
I find it fascinating because Seton always talks, what great Dave Grohl, what a great guy. I'm a huge fan. I just don't like his band's music. That's really weird.
Yeah, it is. You know what? They have like, Foo Fighters have like two great songs in 17 albums. You know? That's like, Everlong is a great song. That is a great song.
Okay.
That's just a big drop off for me after like the really good ones and then the like, oh yeah, that's a Foo Fighters song.
All right, Paulie.
After the first song, I was like, it was funky, but it didn't sound Foo-ish. And then the next two songs were classic Foo. And they're back to fighting Foo like they've always been. I'm going to go great stuff.
Great stuff?
Yeah.
I'm going to go not for me. I can hear some great things in there, but not for me.
Great call on the Nancy Wilson Heart thing, Barracuda,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. And a Nancy. So that's the segment. It's called Stay in Your Lane.
Stay in your lane.
Can we get the Foo Fighters to sing Stay in Your Lane? And then we can play that every time that we do Stay in Your Lane.
Probably. I like the Stay in Your Lane segment. I think next time, though, we'll cue it up to the hook of the song.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Maybe they can do a flat of the day for us because that wasn't that great.
Like a stat of the day, flat of the day?
Flat of the day. It came up a little short for me.
That's
sorry.
That's not good.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, Fighters.
Ooh.
That's me. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I know.
That's not nice.
It.
It's not nice.
No, it's
I just
not.
Said not for me. I didn't say it was terrible.
Denny Hamlin's going to join us. He's going for a 3-peat at Daytona. He'll join us coming up. Oh, but wait, there's one more item here. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. It's simple. It's like getting one of those birthday cards. It's shaped like cash. You know there's cash inside before you open it up. The question is, how much is in there? It's stuffed with your first year cash back match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Cash back match is what it's called. Can't forget that, right? Only by Discover card. Learn more. Discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter.